Chapter 7. Larry didn't go back to work the next week or the week after. Instead, he was home all the time. I was glad for the 3 days I worked after school because I barely saw Larry, and Mr. Graham gave me free snacks, unlike home, where there was even less food than before. But the days I didn't work at the store were different. Sometimes Larry would ignore me when I came in. Other days he'd talk to me, just to have somebody listening while he complained. And some days, especially when he'd been drinking, he'd lose it and beat me. Fridays were always the worst. That was the day Mom got her paycheck. He'd pick her up after work, and they'd go to the grocery store together to do the shopping. Mom did her best to get food, but they also came home with cartons of cigarettes and 12 packs of beer. Larry always took a chunk of cash from her paycheck for himself. Mad money, he called it. One Friday night, there wasn't enough money for what he wanted. I heard them arguing downstairs, and Mom stepped out for a few minutes. That's when he raced up the steps to my room. I was eating a sandwich I made when he stormed in. "What's this?" he said, looking at the open peanut butter jar still sitting on my drawer. "You got your own private kitchen up here this whole time?" There was an ugly look on his face. He put his hand on my chest and shoved me backwards so I went sprawling on my mattress. "You don't want me coming downstairs, so I started keeping some stuff up here," I tried to explain. "Money's tight right now, so don't you be holding out on us," Larry sneered. He put his heavy shoe on my chest and pressed down until I started gasping for air. "From now on, any food you get goes in the kitchen for all of us. I'ma check your room from now on, too. If I find food up here again, you'll be sorry."
"But you're the one who told me to stay upstairs," I said.
He pressed down harder, and I felt a burning in my chest.
"Don't you diss me, boy. I ain't playing with you anymore," he growled. "How much old man Graham pay you today?"
"None of your business," I wanted to say, but I felt like my ribs were about to snap.
$30,
I gasped. It was the entire week's pay.
"Give it here,"
he ordered, a strange look in his eyes. I wanted to curse him out, but I was too scared. I handed over the money, and he drew back his foot. I heard someone come in the door downstairs. A second later, my mom called out,
"Larry, Ben, you guys up there?"
Larry shoved my money in his pocket.
"You're living under this roof. You help us out now and then," he said before he headed back downstairs.
I shut my door behind him, my heart pounding in my sore chest. Later that night, I heard noise and laughter coming from downstairs. When I crept down to the second floor to use the bathroom, I found out why. There was a smell of beer in the air. Larry had used my money to get drunk. I wanted to throw up. At 3 a.m., I woke up to the sounds of slaps and cries coming from downstairs. At first, I thought it was a nightmare, but then I realized it was real. Larry was beating up Mom. I stumbled in the dark to my doorway and heard another dull thud followed by a whimper.
"Mom, are you okay? Is everything okay down there?"
I yelled. The whole house suddenly got quiet. I stepped to the edge of the staircase when she called out,
"Stay out of this, Ben. Everything's going to be fine."
I could hear she was crying. In the darkness, my mind was filled with horrible images of her huddled in a corner bleeding. I started to go down the steps when Larry's voice thundered up at me.
"You heard your mother. Get your butt back in that room now."
"Please, Ben, go away. Just go back to your room,"
Mom begged. I sat on the top step, unsure what to do. When Mom cried out, I cried too. And when Larry hit her, I put my hands over my head to block out the sounds. I wanted to call out her name, but no sound came from my mouth. Finally, I heard Larry go back down to the first floor and turn on the TV. And from the second floor, I heard the awful sound of my mom weeping.
"Stay away, Ben,"
she whimpered when I tried to come to her.
"Just stay away."
Hours passed. At some point, I heard a roar outside and went to my window. Two police helicopters were hovering just above the row homes across the street. Maybe they were searching for Larry. Maybe Mom finally called the police.
"He's here," I wanted to tell them.
As I watched, something went wrong. The helicopters got too close. The rotors hit, and they crashed into each other and fell right onto the houses in a bright orange fireball. A river of fire spilled out in all directions, rushing across the street toward my house. I knew I had to get Mom before it was too late. I reached the second floor, but the fire was too fast. It boiled onto the steps and chased me back all the way up to the third floor. I closed my door and felt the surging flame smack against it. Then the door began to melt and give way, and Larry was there, fire coming out of his hands, ready to burn me to ashes. There was nowhere to run. Flames climbed the walls and windows. I was trapped and felt the pain as my skin began to blister and melt. No! I screamed and woke up, shivering and drenched in sweat. The house was quiet. I was still at the top of the steps where I'd fallen asleep. I rubbed my eyes and walked back to my room. I knew what the dream was telling me. A fire was destroying my world, and I had to stop it. But how? I left my house around noon on Saturday. I couldn't stand to be there, especially with Mom pretending her fat lip and swollen cheeks were normal and Larry sleeping off his hangover on the couch. I didn't know where to go, so I just went to Graham's.
There he is, Mr. Graham said with a smile when he saw me. You okay, Ben? You look a little tired.
Yeah, just didn't sleep too well last night, I said. He looked at me with his bright eyes for a bit longer than usual.
What is it, Ben? You never come here on a day off. Something on your mind, boy?
I wished a customer would come in and distract him. I couldn't tell him what happened last night, but I didn't want him to send me home either. The store was one place I could go where people talked nicely to each other, a place where no one punched or screamed, a place I was wanted.
I was just thinking maybe I could work some more, you know. You don't have to pay me or nothing, I said.
He studied me again, and I prayed he wouldn't ask any more questions.
I can always use your help, Ben, he said with a warm smile.
I don't know why his words made me want to cry, but they did. I fought it off, though, and for the rest of the day I worked harder than ever. I got a blister on my hand and tore the sole of my shoe against the edge of the door, but it didn't matter. It felt good to lift boxes, stock shelves, and clean up messes. At the end of the day, Mr. Graham thanked me.
You're the hardest working young man I know. Nothing wrong with honest work, is there, Ben? He asked. Say, what are you doing for supper? Why don't you come over tonight? Alice is cooking up a storm, and I know she wants to meet you.
Mr. Graham had mentioned his daughter Alice before. I'd never met her, but I'd seen her in old pictures he kept near the cash register. He even showed me a fancy card once with her name on it. It said she was a paralegal, whatever that is. I felt a little funny about going to his house, but I didn't want to go home, and I was hungry.
Call your folks and let them know you're coming over, Mr. Graham suggested.
I knew they'd hardly notice unless I was late, and I was afraid Larry would answer the phone. We locked up the store and walked a few blocks to Mr. Graham's house. It was on a quiet street lined with small one-story houses. His yard was the nicest one, full of pink and white flowers. As he opened the door, I smelled roasted chicken, and my stomach started growling.
Alice, we're here,
he called out. A woman about Mom's age stepped out of the kitchen, wiping her flour-covered hands on a dish towel. I recognized her face from the pictures in the store.
Hello, Dad. How was your day? She said warmly, looking over at me. Great, thanks to Ben here. He helped me all day. I wanted you to meet him, so I thought we'd have him over for dinner.
It's about time. Lord knows I made enough food, she replied.
Nice to finally meet you, Ben, she said, shaking my hand.
You too, I answered nervously. Thanks for having me over.
Ben, I'm going upstairs to get changed, said Mr. Graham. I'll be down in a few minutes.
Alice chuckled.
It's the same thing every day. First thing he does when he gets home is change out of his work clothes. He's been doing it as long as I can remember, she said. Well, while he's doing that, let's finish up in the kitchen. If you want, you can help me mash the potatoes.
Okay, I said, following her down a short hallway lined with family pictures. We stepped into a kitchen as clean and bright as Aunt Faye's. A small wooden plaque hung over the sink.
God bless this house, it read. On the stove, I spotted the source of the great smell, a golden brown chicken fresh out of the oven. My mouth started watering. I swallowed hard and tried not to stare, but Alice saw my expression.
I hope you're hungry, Ben,
she said with a smile, lifting a big pot off the stove. I was. Since Aunt Faye left, I'd been slowly losing weight. I was never fat, but my jeans already felt looser than when we first bought them. School lunches and my food stash didn't make up for the missed meals and empty cabinets at home. And now Larry had taken everything.
I've drained the potatoes, Ben,
Alice said, breaking my thoughts. She was standing in front of a big bowl filled with steaming potatoes.
You think you can mash them up for me?
No problem, I replied. She handed me a masher, and I got started.
Dad's always talking about how helpful you are,
she said as I crushed the potatoes against the side of the bowl.
To be honest, I'm glad you're around,
she continued.
It makes me nervous with him alone in the store all the time. I asked him to hire someone after Mom died, but he's stubborn. He likes to pretend he's 45, not 75. Other than our family, you're the first person he's ever let work in there. That store is his baby. He put me and my brother through school by working there 7 days a week. Know what he said the other day? He told me you work as hard as him. Now that's saying something because he's worked like a dog all his life.
I like working with your dad. It's like he's a grandfather or something, not a boss, I admitted. And it's nice having money, too.
I heard that,
she said with a little laugh. She added some milk and butter to the potatoes and asked me to mix them again. As I did, she pulled out a tray of fresh biscuits from the stove and took it into the dining room. A minute later, she grabbed a steamy bowl of buttery corn. My stomach felt like a big empty suitcase that needed to be filled.
Ben,
she said, adding a little salt and pepper to the potatoes.
You might not want to talk about this, but Dad's a little worried about you.
I knew where she was going, but I kept my eyes down on the potatoes.
Worried? He says he sees bruises on you a lot. We know you're not a troublemaker, she said,
pausing as if looking for the right words.
Honey, who's been hitting you?
Her question rang in my head. Part of me wanted to tell her the truth, but where would I start? And what could she do anyway? My jaw locked shut, and the heavy silence stretched out longer and longer as I kept mashing. Finally, she rested her hand on my shoulder.
Never mind, Ben. If you ever want to talk about it, you know where we are. Dad or I will be glad to listen.
Thanks, Miss Alice, I mumbled, my face burning. She took a spoon and tasted the potatoes.
Perfect, she announced. Come on, Ben, let's eat.
It was the best thing she could have said. Dinner was as delicious as I'd expected. Sitting at the table with Mr. Graham and Alice, talking and laughing about the store, mopping up gravy with one biscuit after another, I felt happier than I had in months. But I knew it couldn't last. As the evening wore on, I started thinking about my mom and Larry at home, not far away. By the time I left around 8 o'clock, I was depressed. Larry and my mom barely looked up from the TV when I came in, the house stinking of cigarette smoke.
Wonder where you were, Ben,
Mom mumbled, half asleep between puffs. Larry didn't look for a moment in my direction as I headed upstairs. For once, my stomach was full, but I knew that would change now that Larry took my food. And if he kept taking my money, I'd be in real trouble. The one good thing was that I still had $30 from the money Aunt Faye left me. With that, I could buy food on the way home from school if I had to. I lifted my mattress to check the money when I discovered it was gone. Some of my drawers were open, too, like someone had just gone through them. I knew what happened. Larry robbed me.
No!
I said out loud, but no one heard me. My pulse pounded in my head, and I kicked my pillows and punched my mattress in frustration.
That's not right!
I yelled out. The loud TV below drowned out my voice. If it didn't, Larry would have come up and given me another beating. I knew it, but I almost didn't care anymore. My room was a prison cell, and it felt like it was getting smaller.